Stubman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025, 1063, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to Superbook Sports, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. We've got a poll up. As the Senior Bowl goes on, all the quarterbacks are not there. Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, not seniors. Will Levis didn't want to go. So as far as looking at those guys and thinking about the future of the Titans, Coach Bob Shoop, though, will join us from the Senior Bowl at 5 o'clock for the hour like Coach Shoop normally does. But we have a poll up. Who do you want to be the next quarterback of the Tennessee Titans? And you people have knocked me dead. Now, when I just reposted this poll on Twitter, you can go vote on it, at Jared Stillman. When I reposted this poll, I saw that it had gone to 42% for Ryan Tannehill as opposed to what was originally 41%. Now, apparently, it is back to 41% for Tannehill, 37% for Aaron Rodgers, and 22% for the greatest quarterback of all time, who just won the Super Bowl 3 years ago, who came back from a 25-point deficit in the playoffs one day after Ryan Tannehill threw you out of the one seed, Tom Brady. And I can't believe you guys are that crazy to say, you know, I'd rather have the quarterback who over the last 3 years has thrown for 67 touchdowns than the quarterback who has thrown for 108 touchdowns. I'd rather take the quarterback who in the playoffs has a rating of 69.2 as opposed to the quarterback who has an 89.8 rating. I'd rather take the quarterback who in my two playoff losses is 0-2 and averages 192.5 yards since I made the decision to take him over Brady, as opposed to the other guy who's 5-2, has won a Super Bowl, and averages 287.4 yards. I don't get it. But it doesn't matter what I think. And it really doesn't matter what you think. It matters what Mike Vrabel thinks. Rand Carthon has come in, and he's pled the fifth about the quarterback position. I asked him at his opening press conference, is Tannehill your guy? Rand Carthon, it wouldn't be fair for me to say today. I need to evaluate, and then I need to get with Mike, and then we can make a decision. But when it comes down to Brady or Rodgers or Tannehill, it feels like it's ultimately Vrabel's call. I know a lot of people throw Trey Lance in there, and Mike Sando said, an executive in the league said, that all the chatter around the league is the chatter of the Titans are going to go after Trey Lance. But it still feels like at the end of the day, that individual decision, who is going to quarterback the Titans next year, I think that belongs to Mike Vrabel. And yeah, Rand Carthon will be a part of it. But if the Titans are going to go after Tom Brady, Vrabel is going to be the one leading the charge. Tom Brady doesn't know Rand Carthon from a jar of Vicks. The idea of, hey, let's sit down and convince you to come here over some of the other teams that may make a run at Tom Brady, I'm not sure that rings very deep. If Tom Brady were to join the Titans, it would be for three people: Jeffrey Simmons, Derrick Henry, and most importantly, Mike Vrabel. That's why he would come here. Aaron Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show today, and he was talking about his relationship with Mike Vrabel and talked about a lot of different things that apparently Mike Vrabel smokes and chews, which I would advise that you all not do. But I think this is about what Vrabel thinks. Again, it's not about what I want, and you all know what I want. I want Tom Brady. But it's about what he wants. The reality of the NFL is that if you don't win, you get fired. This is not like the Predators, who have David Poyle and John Hines, and if they don't win, they'll just make some excuse and they'll move on to next season. In the NFL, if you don't win, you're out. That's how it is. And Vrabel knows that. Does Mike Vrabel look at Ryan Tannehill and the comfort that I feel like a lot of you have with Ryan Tannehill and feel the same way? I know he's good enough to win some games. I know that he's not going to cause me any problems. I know that he's a good leader. I know he's a hard worker, and he's not going to rock the boat. And probably the most important thing in the NFL is he's not going to steal the spotlight. And that does matter with people who have egos, and Mike Vrabel's got one. the idea of my team, my scheme, my program. It's why Tom Brady didn't end up in San Francisco the first time. Because Kyle Shanahan knew that if he succeeded with Tom Brady, it would be about Brady. Instead, if he succeeds with Jimmy, or if he succeeds with Trey Lance, or if he succeeds with Brock Purdy, it's about him. My team, my scheme, my style. It's why Brady is not in New England anymore. It's why Bruce Arians is not in Tampa Bay anymore. It's all about egos and spotlights, and I want it this way, and you want it that way, and that's why Mike Vrabel's still there, and John Robinson's not, and so I could see it. Tannehill's not going to take the spotlight. He's going to do what I tell him to do, and I'm going to get him an OC, and I'm going to get him a line, and I'm going to be great around him. But do you really think that Mike Vrabel feels that way about Tannehill? I don't think Rand Carthon, as we have noted, that people outside of Nashville do not have the same affinity for Ryan Tannehill that the people inside of Nashville have. I don't think Rand Carthon's walking in the building saying, all right, I'm ready to stake my life in this industry on Ryan Tannehill. But I could see Vrabel, who has always said somewhat positive things about Tannehill, I could see Vrabel saying, hey, he's my guy, I trust him, I believe in him. But does Vrabel think he can win a Super Bowl with Tannehill? I know a lot of you out of there think Brady is done for, and that Brady can't play, and that Brady's no good, and that Brady's awful, and all those things that you all think because Tampa Bay's team was terrible this year. But how many people around the league would rather play Tom Brady than Ryan Tannehill? You think when Mike McCarthy, and I know the Cowboys crushed Tampa Bay, but do you think when Mike McCarthy saw the draw in the playoffs and knew that he was going to have to go on the road to Tampa Bay, you think he liked that? And that's not even where we get to Aaron. At least with Aaron, I get why some people wouldn't want him. And the answer is, he's an a-hole. And when we talk about egos and my team and my way and doing things this, I can certainly see a clash between Aaron Rodgers and Mike Vrabel. But again, if this is Vrabel's call, and he's looking at his team that right now has its star player, and the Titans only have one star player in this league, and it's Derrick Henry. He's got his star player with maybe 1 or 2 years left. And he's going to say, I'd like to run it back with Tannehill, who over the last 3 years I'm 0-2 in the playoffs with, and not the guy who over the last 3 years has won 2 MVPs. Or not the guy who's 5-2 in the playoffs and throws for 289 yards in a playoff game on average, as opposed to my guy that throws for 100 yards less per game in an AFC where I'm going to have to throw because there's no way that I'm going to be able to grind Mahomes, Burrow, and Allen in consecutive weeks. I just don't see Mike Vrabel thinking that way. But it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter that I think that the idea of taking Ryan Tannehill over Tom Brady, even at this point in their careers, is ridiculous. Because I think they have the same amount of time left, probably 1 or 2 years. But it doesn't matter what I think. And it doesn't matter what you think. And 42% of you want Ryan Tannehill, as opposed to 22% of you who want Tom Brady, or 37% of you that want Aaron Rodgers. Some of you have even tweeted me and said that you want Joshua Dobbs or Malik Willis. I don't know what kind of football you guys watch, but some of you guys exist. But it really matters what Vrabel wants. Does Vrabel think if Brady comes in here, he has a better chance to win? I believe the answer is yes. Does Vrabel think if he goes after Rodgers, if Amy will let him go after Rodgers, because that's $60 million we're talking about, does he have a better chance to win than he does with Tannehill? I can see a stronger argument made against Rodgers because of how he would affect the team's culture. I think you have to worry about that with Brady. But I ultimately don't know what Mike Vrabel thinks. And Mike Vrabel's not talking. And Tom Brady's not talking. So there's no inside sourcing or scoops to be had on this one until one of them wants to talk. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ian, I can't see the name of who's on line one with our new phone system.
It is here. Dave, and not Julie.
Dave. Dave's up next. Thank you for calling. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Jared. here's a big thing that you get when you have Tom Brady on your staff. Top free agents will want to come play with Tom Brady. Tom Brady just brings a winning culture. Tom Brady makes everybody around him better. So I think those things alone, and not to mention, Tom Brady sells tickets. So I think all those things that I just mentioned, on top of everything you just laid out, to me is a no-brainer if it can happen.
So I don't think, thank you for calling, Dave. I don't think Vrabel cares about the selling tickets. I think he knows that there's a bottom line, and if every seat's sold, it's better. But I think he's of the belief, as most of these football people are, that if we win, they'll buy tickets. And he is probably 99.9% right about that. Brady will sell tickets. The free agent aspect of it, I think that's a little bit of it. The problem is there's no good free agents out there. Now, there may be some guys that want out, and we don't know about that yet. That could be something to watch. 615-737-1025. The one big difference between this year and 2020, 3 years ago, was the Titans had no quarterback under contract. Now they do in Tannehill. And we don't know if Brady wants to come here because Brady's not talking. And Vrabel's not talking. And Tannehill said he wants to stay, but other than that, he's not talking. I do think, though, if the Titans were interested in Tom Brady, there's only two other places that he would rather go. I'll give you the list. This is what I think Tom Brady is his list of teams, because I think he's going to play. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Are we not going to acknowledge, though, that this was a rough year for him? Like, this wasn't on everybody
well,
else.
Known.
This is a guy, you mentioned the Raiders. Tom Brady had a lower QBR than Derek Carr this year. And I'm not saying Derek Carr is a better quarterback than Tom Brady. We all know he's the best ever. I get it. But there was a lot I saw this year out of Tom Brady where you're thinking, that doesn't look like Tom Brady. Do you still feel like he's the guy where you just plug him in and you're good? You're a Super Bowl contender right away?
Well, obviously, he needs support. He needs help. When you rush the football at the rate that Tampa Bay rushed the football this year, he has no choice but to throw for the most attempts in the league history. Like, he had to do it all himself. And if he can go to a situation where he's not required to carry everything and he could just be a part of the process of being better and winning, I think that's much more fitting for him.
That was Larry Fitzgerald telling Sam Ponder, no, Brady is not the problem with why Tampa Bay stunk last year. Brady still got game. Brady will be fine. And that should be for all the naysayers out there that's like, oh, no, oh, gosh, Brady's so old, he's not any good. And what else did Larry Fitzgerald say right there? He said he needs a running game. Gosh, if there was just a team out there
that
had a running game, that had a great running back, that had one or two good years left, just like that Brady has one or two good years left. Oh, wait, there is. So Tom Brady's not talking. Charles Robinson said on Robbie and Rex Road last week, senior NFL insider for Yahoo Sports, Brady's not even talking to his dad about where he's going to go or what he's going to do after he talked to too many people last year. And I don't think the Titans are talking. We don't hear anything about inside sources say, which I find to be a little surprising, but we don't even hear that. We don't even know if the Titans want Tannehill back next season. So this is my list of teams that, given what we know about Tom Brady, where I think he would rank potential free agent destinations. He is a strict free agent. He cannot be tagged. There is no compensation you have to give in return, unlike Aaron Rodgers. So this is what I think. This is my interpretation of Tom Brady's free agent list. Where do the Titans rank? Let's start at the top.
Number one.
I think it's Miami. Now, Adam Schefter reported very sternly on Sunday Countdown that Miami is not interested in Brady. They're going to go with Tua. I'm not sure I believe that. I almost wonder if Miami is telling everybody, we're not interested in Brady, just so they can go sign Brady. But keep everybody with the thought that they're not skirting any rules or they're not tampering or they're not doing anything of the like. But I believe if the Miami Dolphins were interested in Tom Brady, he would go there. Kids live there, house there, Giselle's there with those kids. He tried to go there last year. Great receivers, good defense, but Adam Schefter tells us they're not interested.
Number two.
San Francisco. Now, it's the West Coast, and Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times has said with Brady's kids in Miami and his other kid in New York, the West Coast is not in. But San Francisco was literally on the doorstep the last 2 years of the Super Bowl. They just needed a quarterback in each instance. They have a great defense, great left tackle, great receivers, great tight end, great running game, good offensive coach. It's his hometown team where his parents live. One last year, go for the Super Bowl. I do think if San Francisco enters the chat and they decide they're not going with Purdy next year, Brady would want to go there.
Number three.
Tennessee. I do think the Titans are third. Derrick Henry represents a running game. Tom's not going to be stuck in the same situation he was this past year with Tampa Bay, where it was throw, 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 get hit, get hit, get hit. They will run the ball with Derrick Henry, and I think that's something he wants. Mike Vrabel has a reputation as a defensive guy. Even though the Titans' defense didn't rank that high this year, and they were 32nd in the league in pass defense, between Simmons and Autry and the return of Harold Landry, I think Mike Vrabel can sell Tom Brady on the defense. I think he can trust that Vrabel will do things in an orderly fashion the way Brady wants them done. Remember, he didn't like Belichick because he was too strict up in New England. He didn't like Bruce Arians because nobody took work seriously. Just like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, I wonder if Brady thinks Vrabel will be just right. I have the Titans at number three.
Number four.
Atlanta. Nobody ever talks about Atlanta, but they've got Drake London, who they took in the first round this past year. They've got Kyle Pitts, who they took in the first round last year. They've got Cordarrelle Patterson, a Pro Bowl running back, and they've got an offensive coach. They're in a soft division. Atlanta is close enough to Miami and New York, and I think Arthur Smith's reputation inside the game is better than it is outside the game and on TV. I think a lot of people have respect for Arthur Smith. I have a lot of respect for Arthur Smith. I think that message would get conveyed to Brady.
Number five.
Washington. Now, we don't know what's going to happen with their ownership, but they've got a good defense. They've got a really good defense nobody talks about. They've got good receivers. They've got Terry McLaurin. They've got Curtis Samuel. They've got good receivers and good running backs, with Brian Robinson and that group to run the football. The problem is, at 46 years old, you get the Eagles twice with that pass rush and Micah Parsons twice. Ownership up in the air. I don't know if Brady can trust Dan Snyder, but I do have Washington there.
Number six.
The Raiders. Now, I know that the Raiders seem like a team that would be more towards the front of Brady's list. Josh McDaniels, Devontae Adams, Darren Waller. And I've been talking about Brady to the Raiders for weeks, even before they benched Derek Carr. But again, it's on the West Coast. And Rick Stroud said Brady's probably not going to be interested in the West Coast. Plus, their defense and offensive line both stunk last year. And Josh Jacobs, their running back, is a free agent. Now, maybe they franchise tag him at $10 million. That's not bad. But that's a lot of ifs. Josh McDaniels, even though he's Brady's guy, he's not proven as a coach. If anything, what he's proven as is a proven loser. So that's where I have the Raiders. And I'm adding a seventh team to this one, Ian. I'm sorry in case you weren't ready for
number seven.
Thank you. The Jets. The Jets have a defense. Breece Hall comes back off the ACL, so a running game. Maybe some receiver play. But none of those things are really great. The Jets defense wasn't great this year. The Jets receivers aren't great. It's not Devontae Adams out there. Breece Hall's not great. Plus, Brady has a bad history with the Jets from Spygate. The one thing that I think I could see Brady wanting with the Jets is A, it's in New York, which is close to his son, And B, he can shove it up Belichick's tush twice a year. That's it. But I don't really see the Jets as big-time contenders for Brady. Plus, it's obvious they're going all in for Aaron Rodgers. So that's the list to me. Miami, San Francisco, Tennessee, Atlanta, Washington, the Raiders, and the Jets. 615-737-1025. Ian, who's up next?
This is Joe in Shiloh, Kentucky.
Go ahead, Joe. Thank you for calling. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Jared. I was just thinking if they would keep Tannehill and get a good backup, and I don't understand why nobody's talking about going after Higgins, the wide receiver from Cincinnati. He's a free agent, isn't he?
No.
Oh, I thought he was a free agent. That's my bad.
I would love to go after T. Higgins, too. Unfortunately, he's under contract, and I don't think Cincinnati's just going to give him up.
I wouldn't think so either. And this gets a little bit of a line out. They ain't far away.
I think a lot of people struggle. Like, the offensive line, thank you for your call. The offensive line was not supposed to be this bad this past year. The left tackle got hurt the second game of the year, and they put Dennis Daly out there. They thought they had a right tackle, and it got the guy who thought that fired. So between the general manager that assembled the talent on the offensive line and the offensive line coach who coached the offensive line, they've both been fired. Clearly, it's a priority to the organization, and I think you will see that with the moves that they make and the way that they draft. So I am not worried about the offensive line being a hindrance here, because I think the Titans are going to fix it. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. So the 33rd team, it's a group of ex-football guys, coaches like Bill Parcells, executives like Rick Spielman, who ran the Vikings, and Thomas Dimitroff, some of these other guys. And they've got a mock draft out. And what they think at the quarterback position goes completely against what I think and what I think most of you think. We will discuss that with Trevor Maddich, and we will do it next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Mal, tell me this. Which quarterback will be the best pro?
Molly, in terms of my rankings, it's Will Levis from Kentucky. And you got to forget this year, he was banged up. He was beat up, played behind a horrible offensive line. Go back to 2021 when he had some help. He had Luke Fortner anchoring that offensive line, who did a heck of a job with the Jacksonville Jaguars this year. Darian Kennard was there as well in that O-line. He had Wandale Robinson, who was now a New York Giant, catching the football. He was 10-3. He was outstanding. He had 9 rushing touchdowns. You know, he had 2 rushing touchdowns before he was hurt. When he was hurt, he only had 0. Last 8 games, 0 rushing touchdowns, played with multiple injuries, played through those injuries, gutted it out, got himself on the field every week till the end, okay, when he had to say, hey, I got to let my body heal. Will Levis, to me, forget the turnovers. You got to make plays. You know, turnovers happen when you got to force plays. Tennessee game, 3 picks. They're behind. What's the difference? You lose 30-0 or you lose 50-0, right? So Will Levis, to me, is the guy who may not be the first quarterback taken, but will be the best quarterback out of this draft. And we've seen that over the years. Guys that are the best quarterbacks aren't always the first or even the second quarterback taken in the first round that particular year.
There you go. That was Mel Kiper Jr. He thinks Will Levis is the best quarterback in this class, the 33rd team. It is a new website. It's got a bunch of ex-football guys, coaches, executives, bunch of ex-footballers. They have a mock draft that's out. And I believe it's a former scouting director who used to work for the Eagles who is kind of the main guy doing the mock draft. He's got C.J. Stroud going at 2 to the Texans. He has Indianapolis trading up to 3 and taking Will Levis and Bryce Young going at 5. Now, I know Bryce Young's little, but I thought Bryce Young was by far the only guy that I saw in college football that I'm like, that dude is a magician at quarterback. And I think those things matter. Trevor Maddich is with us. I looked up the stats today. Not that stats mean everything, but Will Levis did not throw for 300 yards in one SEC game this season. He threw for 98 against Tennessee. He threw for 109 versus Vandy, and he played Vandy and lost. Trevor, what do you make of all the football guys and the executives and the evaluators telling us Will Levis is QB1 in this year's class?
Man, I see it totally differently. Jared, I don't trust Will Levis right now. Now, he may end up being everything that Mel Kiper said that he is, that he expects him to be. He may end up being just absolutely phenomenal in the NFL. Certainly, he's tall. He's yoked. I mean, he's strong. He's a prototype of the future quarterback. You know, he's a guy that that can stand in the pocket. He's a guy that can run like a running back, all these different things. But I agree with you. The thing that worries me is that from a quarterback standpoint, your physical traits are far less important than your psychological traits, your mental traits, your accuracy, your leadership, all those different things. And when things are going well, 2 years ago, Will Levis was phenomenal. His offense was going great. He had great protection. He had great receivers. He had a great running back. Everything was clicking. And he did great. This year, he didn't have so much help around him. And you can say that that's the reason that he didn't perform as well himself. But I think it's a different thing. I think when you don't have as much around you, that's when you need to show how great you are. I mean, when you talk to coaches, they'll often tell you that in college, the 12-0 season, the 11-1 season, wasn't their best coaching job. It was the 7-5 season because they just didn't have the players. And to get them to 7 wins was huge. Mm-hmm. Same way with a quarterback in this situation. Numbers will be down when you don't have the support around you, but you can show so many traits in a down year for the rest of the offense based on how you elevate what you do have. And I didn't see him do that this year.
Trevor, what do you make of Trey Lance? Because there's a lot of talk that with Rand Carthon coming in here that Trey Lance may get squeezed out of San Francisco. Now, Brock Purdy is going to have, I believe, Tommy John surgery on his throwing elbow, but he should be ready to go for training camp. What do you make of Trey Lance? And if the chatter is correct that the Titans are interested, what would you expect from him?
Well, the only thing Trey Lance has shown so far in the NFL is that he can't get on the field. Whether it's injury or knowing the offense, depending on the year, you know, he's been here in 2 years now. He's shown that he hasn't been able to get on the field and do anything. So everything is speculation with him. Maybe he'll be great. Maybe he won't. We don't know. But you have to anticipate, if you bring him to the Titans, that he'll take time to develop. That you can't just plug him in there and expect him to maximize everything this offense can do in year one or even year two as a starter for the Titans. And you're having tread come off of Derrick Henry in those 2 years. If you are anticipating him needing to develop. Now, at the same time, you know, if the offensive line is good and Henry stays healthy, then Trey Lance wouldn't be asked to do nearly as much. The reads would be much simpler because you'd have play action pass. You wouldn't have to read defenses the way you normally would in a drop back pass scenario. And he could maybe do better than he normally would because of what the rest of the offense is doing. But I wouldn't count on that. If I'm the Titans, unless Rand Carthon just absolutely knows that this guy is going to be ready to go and he's going to be phenomenal. I think that is a huge risk, but I don't know him the way that Carthon knows him. And so that's the question they really need to ask is, will he be ready to be the starter and be effective within the window that Derrick Henry has as an elite running back? Because that is the Titans' best chance to get back to the Super Bowl and to win it. It's not necessarily going to be with a great quarterback. It's going to be with a quarterback that can do what he needs to maximize Derrick Henry. Once Henry's out of the picture, we have a different question. But you've got to ask yourself how many years like that Henry has left in him, and do you want to use those years or do you want to squander those years developing a young quarterback?
Trevor, if you had to pick, Trevor Maddich is with us, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. If you had to pick, because we had a poll out today, and then I'll tell you the results in a second. If you had to pick between Ryan Tannehill, Tom Brady, or Aaron Rodgers for the quarterback position for the Titans next year, who would you want to be the quarterback?
My first pick would be Ryan Tannehill.
Why?
Because he's more physically capable than Brady. We've seen Brady this year physically deteriorate.
What do we see with Tannehill?
Well, still, well, you're right. That's fair. But Tannehill, he's no young guy. What is he, 30? What, how old is he?
35.
Yeah, and so, you know, and obviously got hurt and all that. But if they both come into the season healthy, I just trust Tannehill to be able to do more with the offense and to withstand more from a standpoint of punishment. Brady this year threw for a ton of yards, had to because they couldn't run the ball. But once again, when you watch Brady's game this year, he didn't move around very much. When the pressure arrived, he just sat out. right? He sat down. He literally would have a seat. He would just go down, which is smart on his part. It makes no sense to stand there and make a low percentage throw while he gets smashed in the mouth and then crushed with some 340-pounder landing on him. So he did the right thing there, but Tannehill wouldn't have to do that. And I think it's important. That's important. It's an important part of it. And so especially when you talk about the offensive line, and the offensive line, by the way, for the Titans might come together brilliantly. I mean, it might end up being absolutely fantastic because the guys coming off injured reserve and they might all come together. Some of the young guys might gel, get some good competition. And just the guys they have now may end up being a greatly improved offensive line for the Titans next year. It might be, can't count on it. And because you can't count on it, do you want the quarterback that's getting older, that is visibly slowing down physically?
Yes.
Or do you want the guy that's not quite that old that can still move around?
I would rather have Brady, because as much as it would be easy to say, okay, well, Tannehill is younger, so he's more likely to be healthy. Brady hasn't missed a game since he got suspended by the league for Deflategate. Tom Brady does not miss games. And Ryan Tannehill last year missed games with the same injury that Patrick Mahomes is playing through right now. So to me, I think it's moot. I think that what Tannehill is at 35, he's older, he's slower, he's not the same anymore. To me, that's Brady at 46. Brady ages better than Tannehill. I mean, to me, Brady is a more sure thing to make it through the season if he gets pounded than Tannehill, because they both had terrible offensive lines this year, and Brady made it through his season, and Tannehill didn't. And I'll give you an example of something that drives me crazy. I thought the intentional grounding call on Joe Burrow the other night was ridiculous. And I believe that Burrow and Brady are the best in the league at dirting the ball on a screen when it's not going to develop. They see it, they dirt it, and they move on. Tannehill completes all those passes. So Brady is smarter about getting rid of the ball than Ryan Tannehill is, who holds on to the ball forever and always tries to make a play happen. I think you are more likely, Trevor, to get through the year with Tom Brady, even at 46, than you are with Ryan Tannehill at 35.
Well, you're right, but you're going to miss a lot of opportunities too, where a younger quarterback that's more willing to take some of those hits will hang in and take that hit, or hang in and not take the hit, but take the risk of the hit and make a play instead of just conceding the play to the defense and moving on. So I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying that, in my opinion, I would trust Tannehill more right now than I would Brady for that. I would not want Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, unless I'm mistaken, has 2 years, $100 million guaranteed on his contract. So you're paying this guy $100 million guaranteed, if I'm right, and I think I am, to come in. And I think it's in question whether Aaron Rodgers even really loves playing the game. I really do. He just talks so much about retirement. I mean, if I loved playing the game, I wouldn't be talking about retirement, except maybe as a, you know, as a negotiating ploy. But then I would do that behind closed doors, for goodness sake. You know, Aaron Rodgers just seems like he's got one foot in, one foot out. He seems pretty selfish. I mean, you talk about Brady. Look how Brady famously with the Patriots took contracts less than what he could have gotten so that there'd be more money to spread around under the cap for players to help him, and lo and behold, they win all those Super Bowls. And look at Rodgers. Rodgers could have made his decision sooner than he did, taken maybe less money so it could have gone to receiver Devontae Adams, but he just dilly-dallied and talked about retirement and wasn't sure what he was going to do. Meantime, Adams wants his money. Adams is a free agent, and he finally said, I'm out of here, and he went off to the Raiders. And then, of course, Rodgers re-signs with Green Bay for a fortune. And so, you know, from a temperament standpoint and a team orientation standpoint, I don't really trust Aaron Rodgers. And then you look at this. How many Super Bowl championships for Rodgers?
One.
Right? And he's got multiple MVPs, though, doesn't he?
Four.
As an individual, he does a lot of really great things. As a team guy, one Super Bowl championship with a first-round lock, first-round ballot lock for the Hall of Fame, one of the most talented quarterbacks physically that we've ever seen play this game with our own eyes, and one Super Bowl championship. So either the front office and the coaching staff has been really awful, but you know what? They've rotated through coaching staffs there, haven't they? One guy's been there the whole time, and that's Aaron Rodgers. And I'm not saying he's not a great player. He is. But I've got to wonder if he's the player you want to count on to get you to a Super Bowl, given that with the, or win a Super Bowl, given that with the Green Bay Packers, and an organization that is widely thought of as being one of the better ones in the league. All those years, all those opportunities, and Aaron Rodgers only has one ring? Why? So now you want to guarantee him $100 million over the next 2 years? To me, he's just way too big of a risk, not from an on-the-field standpoint, but from a locker room standpoint.
Trevor Maddich is with us, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. New hires in the NFL, plus the officiating meltdowns, I think, of both games. We'll get Trevor's thoughts on that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Three head coaching hires in the last couple of days. Frank Reich in Carolina. Meanwhile, today, Sean Payton to the Denver Broncos for a first-round pick goes back to New Orleans. This is after they tried to get Harbaugh again, even after Harbaugh. Trevor Maddich is with us, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics. Trevor, I think it's been like three statements that have come out from Harbaugh saying he's staying in Michigan, but they tried again. They didn't get him. They tried for D'Amico Ryans of the 49ers. They didn't get him. So they end up giving up a first-round pick. I think they have to pay Payton an ungodly amount of money. D'Amico Ryans to the Texans. Let's start with Sean Payton. Trevor, I think this is everybody, in my opinion, everybody is only going to the prom with each other here. Denver, Russell, Payton, because nobody else wanted to take them. What do you make of it?
Well, I think Denver is in, they've got all their eggs in one basket, don't they? That's Russell Wilson stays healthy and plays at a very high level, and Sean Payton can maximize that offense around him. Because, you know, they gave up a fortune to get him. Then they had to give up a first round this year, and I think a second round next year, in compensation to the Saints in order to be able to have the rights to sign the former Saints coach, Sean Payton. And so you got that. Now, they picked up another first rounder when they traded Bradley Chubb to the Dolphins. But, you know, they're kind of hurting. Right now, the Broncos have the 29th pick in the draft and nothing in the second round, nothing until they get to the third round. And they have a team that has a whole lot of holes, especially on the offensive line. And so this is really, talk about the prom. Well, this is the prom king and the other prom king, Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. And those two had better play well together, because if they don't, then giving up all that draft capital to get both of those guys is going to come back to bite Denver, not just for the next couple of years, but maybe for the next six or seven.
Hasn't it already done that, though? With Russell, at least?
Yeah, they did with Russell. But at the same time, you know, they had to give up an extra first-round draft choice this year and I think a second round next year to the Saints in order to be able to sign Payton. And so they're saying that this coach is better than having some other coach and those two high draft picks. And he may be. He may well be. We'll see. You know, Sean Payton is a great coach, but Sean Payton got to coach Drew Brees at quarterback. And, you know, a lot of times that makes you a pretty good coach. We know how great of a coach Bill Belichick was when he was coaching Tom Brady. Doesn't seem to be the scary dominant monster in the room anymore now that Brady's no longer his quarterback. So we're about to find out a lot about Sean Payton, too.
Trevor Maddich is presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. What do you make of D'Amico Ryans to the Texans? It feels like they're going to pick a quarterback with either the first or second pick. You know, if they move up with Chicago in order to get the quarterback they want, does it make sense to go defensive coach if we all know they're going quarterback this year?
Well, we assume they're going quarterback this year. I kind of tend to think that they'd be better off taking Jalen Carter out of Georgia, defensive tackle. He is just a game wrecker, to go with D'Amico Ryans. You know, D'Amico Ryans is the defensive coordinator of the 49ers. He just knows what to do with defensive linemen and how to wreck offenses with them. And if he is fully convinced that one of those quarterbacks is worth a pick that high, then sure, go ahead and take him. If they like him, go ahead. I think he's safer taking Jalen Carter there and then trying to fill quarterback in a different way. You need a great quarterback. But as we know, it's about a 50-50 chance that one of those guys is going to work out for you, whereas Carter is about a 90% chance.
Trevor, what do you make of the officiating problems that we saw over the weekend? I thought the NFC game was poorly officiated, and then I thought the AFC game was horrendous. And I thought the whistle completely favored Kansas City. I thought it was awful top to bottom. the intentional grounding call on Joe Burrow, the missed roughing the passer on Joe Burrow. I didn't like the call on the hit out of bounds. I'm the only person in America who feels that way. I get that they threw it, but I didn't like it given the circumstances and the fact that I don't know how you're supposed to ask the linebacker to slow up there. But with all that being said, I feel like every year the NFL says we need to do better, and then every year it's some half-assed attempt, like when they did absolutely nothing after the Saints-Rams game other than make pass interference challengeable and then never overturned it. What do you make of the latest officiating bungle that we had this past weekend?
Absolutely horrific. I mean, you've got this massive showcase weekend of the NFC and AFC championship games, and people aren't talking about the games as much as they're talking about the officiating. And it was horrific. It was just terrible, especially like you mentioned in that Chiefs-Bengals game. You know, I see the shove out of bounds by Joseph Osai against Patrick Mahomes that ended up putting the Chiefs 15 yards closer for that game-winning field goal. I think that was the right call. Mahomes was clearly out of bounds, but beyond that, Mahomes all game long was limping around and hopping on one foot. It was pretty clear that while a healthy Mahomes might have stuck his foot in the ground and cut back inside, in that circumstances with no timeouts, he was running for the marker and he got it. He
Did
was
you
running
think there was holding
limping.
On that play, Trevor?
Oh, there's holding on every play.
But not the holding on every play. I mean the egregious holding.
Yeah, I thought it was. I thought it was holding too. But see, that's another thing. I thought there were non-calls. Anyway, so about that with Osai. I think that was a good call. I think a lot of people hate it. I think it was the right call. But you talk about non-calls. There were all kinds of non-calls that to me were worse than the calls that were made that favored the 49ers, or excuse me, the Chiefs so often in that game. You know, just in one example, there was a play where the Chiefs were on defense, committed, in my opinion, clear pass interference. Clearly, it was third down, clearly pass interference where the defender disrupted the receiver as the ball was coming in. He grabbed him. He twisted him. It was a clear disruption that affected the play and the potential to receive that ball, no flag. And then the next one or two offensive possessions for the Chiefs, they called pass interference on a Bengals defender on a play that was far less disruptive. It was both guys just sort of jostling for position, and they did throw the flag on the Cincinnati defender. So the consistency of that was horrifically bad, you know. And then you have the comparison that people talk about where in the NFC Championship game, the Eagles receiver, I think it was Devontae Smith, was running down the left sideline, caught the ball, called a reception. The Eagles ran up and snapped it real quick, and it wasn't a reception. You could see on the replay it wasn't, but, hey, they nobody buzzed down to stop the play for more.
Oh, I put that one on Shanahan, Trev. I thought Shanahan blew that.
Sure. But then in the next game, what happens? The same thing happens, and it's ruled not a catch, and they got it right? And so people are comparing those two. And so I think there's a couple things that the NFL can do when it comes to helping the officiating. One of them is to add two extra officials, because right now the side judges the guys that run with the receivers deep, they've got to run with those receivers. They're huffing and puffing and running as fast as they can go so they can stay close to a play that's 50, 60 yards down the field. If you add another official that's already 50 yards down the field on both sidelines, then as those deep throws come their way, they're just standing there moving a little bit to get in position to see. And I think it'll make it a lot better. Another thing is if there's some mechanism to correct plays that are egregiously wrong. I know in college they have like what they call a God rule unofficially, that even if a play is not reviewable, then if it's just incredibly, egregiously, obviously incorrect, instead of saying, well, gee golly, you know, and if it's material to the game, instead of saying we just can't do anything about it because by rule we're not allowed to review that play, they can stop it and say, look, our overall God rule says that's just wrong. Everybody sees it. Everybody knows it. It's important. Let's fix it. And the NFL needs a rule like that.
Trevor Maddich is always brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics when experience matters. Trev, great stuff. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Jared.
So the Senior Bowl is going down right now in Mobile, Alabama. The Senior Bowl is really trying to hype itself up. And I think they have Nelly performing a concert. And so Coach Bob Shoop is at the Senior Bowl. And I can't tell you anything about, you know, this guy looked good, that guy looked. Bob's been looking at the offensive linemen. He's been looking at the quarterbacks. We will have Coach Shoop's breakdown of what he saw at the Senior Bowl, and we will do that next with Coach Bob Shoop. Normally joins us at 3 o'clock, and he joins us at 5 o'clock this time. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.